Welcome to Imperfect Momming. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it. Welcome back to Imperfect Momming, and we have one of my very new favorite people. Like, I think we've known each other for maybe a month, and neither one of us can remember. Is it two now? Neither one of us can remember where we met or how we met or why, but it doesn't matter. This is Karina Taylor. She's amazing. You're about to fall in love. So welcome, Karina.
Auntie, hi.
Right?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. That's such a sweet. Yeah, I have no idea where we met. A group, obviously, on Facebook, but here we are. And I'm so excited to be here on your podcast. Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Yay!
So tell everybody a little bit about you and what you do.
Well, how much time do we have? So, okay, no, just kidding. Literally, I am a kid whisperer, and I've raised two boys who are now 29 and 30. Anyways, and ran a licensed family daycare, been a doula. Oh, I did the daycare for about 15 years. Been a doula, Lush League leader, special education assistant. Seeing the thread here. So now I parent coach mompreneurs specifically because I've been an entrepreneur all my life, kind of born into it. And I'm really magical with kids. I just kind of get them and they get me. So now I took those two superpowers, put them together, and here I am. It's really cool.
You can just tell that you absolutely love what you do, and you have that energy of somebody who just loves what they do and is, yeah, you, like I said, you guys are going to fall in love with Auntie Karina.
I love what I do, seriously, because it just, the tiniest little things that I suggest, people will do all my lives all the time. I'll just say to them, you know, don't yell down the hall, go to them. They're like, oh, I did that while you were on your life. It worked. I'm like, yeah, it did. So I get such a bang out of that. And that makes me happy when moms are able to make tiny changes, or I'm able to show them one little thing that is why nothing ever works. And I'm able to show them what the pieces that they're missing, and they go, oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like this morning, one of my former coaches, she wrote something down, and I just went, dope. It was too fun.
Yeah. So these little tips and tricks, like, I'm super fascinating because I think that the first time I clarified that I'm a coach for moms, not a parenting coach.
Right.
The first time that I defined the difference was with you, because
yes,
you help moms more with their parenting techniques. And I feel like I fly by the seat of my pants when it comes to parenting, but I can help moms with the head stuff of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
So specifically helping moms let go of their guilt and all of the things that make us mean mommy, right?
Yeah. Don't even get me started on the whole mom guilt banana sandwiches.
Right.
Because I have issues with that up the wazoo. So point being is that, yeah, I deal with, because parenting is a skill that's learned over time. And that's, if that sounds kind of repetitive, like you've said it 1,000 times, I've probably said it 100,000 times. And I think once we get that, when we get that in our brains that we aren't born knowing how to parent, because parenting is not natural.
Right.
It's not. And when we recognize that it's not natural, that we can get skills, that we can be better at it and have, you know, not have to go through all that angst and the tears and the anger and the frustration. Remember those days where you just sit there going, you want to just throttle them, not because they're bad kids, but they're doing a behavior that you don't know how to adjust.
Right.
Or correct, or it's triggering. So that's what I do when I work with my moms. You know, you are where you are, doing the best you can with what you've got. My job is to go in where you are at, have a really good look at the situation with eyes that aren't invested emotionally in what you're doing. And I go, oh, I just noticed that. Or when you were doing that, walk me through what you were thinking. And then we kind of unwind it together a little bit. And then I give them the little suggestions or some of the psychology of why your kids are doing something, or, you know, the reasons why they might truly not hear you, things like that, so that you can get sort of the behind the scenes look, so that when you're done with me, you can go run a daycare like nobody's business. Like, you're just, you are so equipped. You're gonna be like rocking, like, I got this. Give me the whole class. We're good. Let's go.
I'm going to say no thanks to that, but I like having my one. And right now he has his friend, and we, you know, joke that we share custody of each other's children, his friend's mom and I, because this summer we're just bouncing him back and forth. Mm-hmm. And it is difficult to own a business and work from home and have the kids around. And, you know, and I know you had said, you say it a million times a day. It actually never clicked in my brain that parenting isn't natural. But the thing that I've heard so much from moms and reasons that they beat themselves up is, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yes.
And I just, for me, I never had the thought of, I don't know what I'm doing, even though I had no clue, until he wasn't doing stuff that I wanted him to do. You know, the screaming when it's time to leave the playground. And just being so embarrassed
that
I'm literally manhandling my child to get him into the stroller.
The potato sack, Carrie.
Right.
Yeah, screaming, kicking, and you are just like, oh, or, and you have to turn them out so that they don't bite you. Yeah, I've had that.
And
it's horrible.
The reason I don't tell people what to do is because I had somebody teach me what to do, and I never thought, you know, that it was something that would work across the board. But number one, we gave him a 5-minute warning, a 3-minute warning, a 1-minute warning, and that helped. And then I would ask him, hey, you want to push the stroller? And he was so down to pushing the stroller all the way home. You know,
that's perfect. That's exactly what you do. Yeah. I think we've overcomplicated. No, we have overcomplicated parenting.
Yeah.
And this is really why I kind of got into what I'm doing, because I see so many parents getting so many pieces of advice from Google, from Pinterest, from their friends, from their family, from mom groups. And there is no clear voice saying, stop. You're way overcomplicating this. Your inner mom voice, that intuition that you have, has been stifled. It's being crushed down and silenced because of the cacophony, the racket that is out there. And when I teach the three pillars of my parenting foundation, which I will explain what it is in a moment, it shuts that crap up. It brings up your inner intuition that, you know, that feels right for my kid. I know that's going to work. I know what I'm doing. You're not feeling guilty because you're not doing what everybody else says. You're doing what's right for your family. And when I build that with these three pillars and I build that foundation, call it the skeleton system, and then you fill it out, because now you're in tune. You're in tune with yourself. You're way more in tune with your kids. So you're not yelling at them half the time. You're now parenting becomes easy and definitely simpler. and you can actually really enjoy your kids. And yes, you can work at home without them constantly interrupting, or it being, you know, when you are doing, let's say, a podcast like this, where you know, you set it up, you've used these three pillars, and your kids know this is not a time, or your child knows, this is absolutely a no-go right now. And they will do that because you set them up like you set up your clients. You set them up for success.
Yeah. So, and I think that that's a huge reason why I didn't struggle so much in the beginning of parenting, because, I mean, he was a lot easier in the beginning. But right around the time when I was going through emotional turmoil, he started going through these behaviors that I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Voila, they were connected. But because I know, right? As I started to get better and happier, his behaviors got less and less. He was in services the whole time, so it's probably six of one and half a dozen of another. But in the beginning, I'm not a researcher. I didn't know what to expect when you're expecting. I didn't read what to expect in the first year. I had a friend that I really trusted, and I had my mom. And if I didn't know what to do, I asked one of them, and I did what felt right based on what they said. You know, if they said something that didn't feel right, like I had people that would give me advice that was so out of alignment with what I thought was right. And that person loved to give me advice all the time. And so I finally told her, honestly, I don't have a problem asking for help with parenting. But if I need the help, I will ask you. But I don't need you to offer it. And that was my way of setting boundaries with this person, because of the stuff that she was saying. And I felt guilty not doing what she was wanting me to do, but I'm just not that kind of parent that is going to, you're going to eat what I tell you to eat, and you're going to sit down with us and eat with the rest of us.
That's fine.
This particular situation, we were at a family camp, and there was probably 50 to 75 people eating breakfast at once. And my son has sensory issues. It was too loud, and they all wanted me to insist that he sit down and eat with us. Well, number one, he was hungry before breakfast was ready. And number two, it was too loud. And I said, you know what? He's going to eat cereal when he's hungry, and then he's going to go play on the back porch, because it's not a problem. Like, why is everybody making it a problem? Who cares?
Sorry to interrupt, but this is where I really want to interject. That's called too many cooks in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And when we have these, this is what I have an issue with social media. Mom groups are great. They are fantastic. They are an important place to have, you know, support, bounce off ideas, things like that. However, the, you know, negative side of it is everybody has an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody will chime in, when sometimes all you need is a vent, or to vent out, or you just are like, you just want to check in. Does that sound sensible? And the next thing you know, you've got 150 people all giving you something different, and you're expected to figure it out. You're expected to sift through it and find what works for you. So,
and then
that's why I tell people, stop posting your questions.
Right. And then the moms really start arguing with each other. It's hysterical. I watch it every single day.
Go ahead.
Yeah. There's so many toxic conversations that really just make you feel bad.
And many times I've stepped in going, hey, this is supposed to be supportive. You know, you need to, you know, think before you speak. And if you can't say something supportive, you need to remove yourself from the conversation. I'll do it in public too. I'll tell kids, I go up to them all the time, excuse me, your mom is doing something nice for you. I expect that you are going to show her, you know, the proper gratitude, or show, you know, some manners. And moms have looked at me and I said, you're doing a good job, mom. I said, I'm not sure I would continue shopping if my son was going to be like that. I said, what do you think? And she'll kind of go, like, because, hey, here's somebody on my side. Here's somebody, you know, being with me. And in that moment, I had a mom that was walking down the street a month ago, and her child was losing it in the stroller, probably about two, dropped their toy. We've all done this, right? You feel me on this one. They drop their toy 100 times while you're walking. You constantly have to stop. Mom was, from the tone of her voice, was sounding frustrated, and it was loud, and she was angry. You could hear she just had it. And the child was screaming. And instead of me going, "What are you doing, yelling?" I said, "Hey, are you okay? Do you need some help?" And she just looked, and I said, "It looks like you're having a tough time." And she just like froze. I said, "Do you want to cut? Would you like a glass of water?" I said, "I really understand what you're going through." So I took this woman from this intensity level here, brought her right down to here. Instead of getting after her and criticizing her, I supported her. And I said, "I understand." I didn't tell her what to do. "Would you like a glass of water just to have a moment? I get it. These days, it's hard being a mom."
It really is.
So, yeah. So we go. So I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's why I have such an issue with these mom groups. I know they're well-meaning, and they're, it's kind of why I keep my group that I have on Facebook really small. Mm-hmm. And I've never had anybody toxic in there because I screen them. Number two, I tell people right off that, here's the deal. If you don't play nice, you don't get to play my sandbox. So I'm very clear. But you were talking, it just kind of goes back to, going to round this back to, you were saying about boundaries.
Yeah.
So here's something I see all the time. You see in all these mompreneur groups and these female entrepreneur groups, they talk about setting boundaries. You're going to set boundaries with your clients. You've got to have self-care. These are awesome things. However, moms have to learn that setting boundaries, not just with themselves, but to set boundaries with their children that are age appropriate, that fit them at that time. When we start doing that, we teach our children boundaries, which means in a generation or so, we're not going to need to worry about this anymore. We're going to fix it now so that the future, we don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And setting your boundaries through recognizing what the behavior is or isn't. These are the three pillars I promised. Using communication that is really clear that people or your kids will understand at any point, because it's super clear. You hit, you sit. You may not speak to me in that tone of voice. Thank you very much. When you have a follow through that is natural and logical, that completely connects to the behavior. For example, your child is throwing a toy. Toys are for playing, not for throwing. If you throw again, the toys has to go and have a rest. That's what I say to the little ones. They throw it again. "Oh, you chose to throw. I need to put the toy. It doesn't like being treated like that. Hurts feelings." So the behavior was connected, and the consequence, the disciplining I did, which is to guide and to teach,
right,
allowed them to fully connect their action with the result. Saying, I hear so many parents, "If you throw that toy again, I'm going to take all your toys away. You're never going to have a toy again." Okay. "You don't pick up your toys. I'm throwing them all in the garbage." Don't do that. It really undermines you as a parent. Your kids don't look at you as that solid stability that they desperately need. Trust me, the firmer and clearer you are with your boundaries, the happier and calmer your children will be. And that looks different for everyone, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's important. And that's what I don't hear in these mom groups. I don't hear a lot of moms. There's a few. They're not all, but I hear a few that are like, "Hey, like, you got to kind of like break this down. Like, don't make it so complicated." And then, like you said, all the infighting. So yeah, calm, clear, firm, loving boundaries, and having that voice that I get the luxury and the honor of sharing on platforms like this, make me feel like there's hope that, you know, my voice is getting louder. More and more people are hearing it. More and more moms are starting to realize this is too hard. You and I have had a couple of little moments where even you were like, "I never thought of that." I'm like, yeah, we can't see it. We're too close. And what moms, I want to pound it into your beautiful heads that it is not a sign of failure. It should not be shameful. It should be a badge of honor and pride that you're getting the tools, you're getting the support you need. Giddy up.
Yeah.
You're going to have a way happier family. Your business is going to thrive because you know that when you're kids, you're like 100% with your kids. And then you can say to your kids, okay, it's client time. You'll be 100% with your clients. There's no guilt. Right. It's a win-win. And it's okay to say, I want this business for me. Awesome. No guilt there. Or I'm running this business for my kids, but my kids are constantly like just interrupting things. So I can't build it the way I need to. And it's not because your kids are bad. It's not because you're doing a bad job at all. It's just, you haven't quite got the techniques down to make it work so your kids really understand. And there's that mutual respect and you being the loving authority that your children are desperate for.
Absolutely.
They are desperate for that.
Yeah.
Why do you think daycares and preschools and schools, when they're young especially, are so routine? Because it works.
Right.
Children thrive when they know what's happening.
Yeah.
Their behavior, they will take attention, negative if they have to, because they don't care. So when you give them these structures and these boundaries, they blossom. They turn into completely different children. You're like, who's that child? Did you medicate him? Like, no.
Right.
And I've had 83 kids that I can record through my daycare. I've taken the Ministry of Children and Families used to call me up, the social worker, and say, I've got a doozy for him. I'm like, bring them on. Because when they brought them to my daycare, within days, these kids shifted. The moms were like, they are so calm. I'm like, yeah. She goes, what'd you do? I said, I didn't beat them with noodles.
You medicate them.
No, I don't medicate them. No.
Yeah.
I give them a structure. I give them this routine. I tell them the expectations. I give them logical or natural follow through. If you don't want to eat your Bunsen mummy pack, I suggest you do, because it's a long time till snack time, or you know, we're going to be going out and playing and we're not bringing our snacks outside. So are you sure? Check your tummy. And then the next thing you know, no, they're fine. 30 minutes later, I'm hungry. Well, I can't do that with seven children.
Right.
To have a constant snack time. And yeah, just it works. And we don't have enough kids in our families anymore to be able to have more of that structure like we used to, because families were bigger and you had to, otherwise it was just a gong show.
Right.
So anyways, there you go.
Yeah, so you've dropped some really amazing nuggets.
Thank you.
Is there one piece of advice that kind of sums up everything that you want to share?
Oh God. Did you see my brain explode and the smoke coming out of my ears? My one piece of advice is, get somebody who knows parenting better than anybody else, who's not related to you, to help you be the mom you know you want to be, or that you want to heal to be, to change generational trauma, so that you can really have it all. And your kids will just, I'm getting goosebumps. I can't even tell you, express the depth of change that you will have with your kids. The connection, because you're not yelling and screaming. You'll just, it's really magical. I'm all goosebumpy. Yeah.
I hope everyone understands why I immediately loved you. And so I'm throwing this random question at you. So if you don't have an answer, it's okay. I'm throwing everything at you. Is there a book, a personal development book, that has been truly impactful for you that you want to share?
Yeah, actually I do. It's the best one. And it's Mel Robbins' 5-second rule. I cannot tell you how important that book is. And I actually use it in my parenting, with some of my parenting techniques. I've taught my nieces, one who has sensory processing and social anxiety, I've taught 4-year-olds. I've taught 20-year-olds. It's so simple. And it is literally like having a magic wand. I can't recommend it enough. And I don't read a lot of self-help books, but that one I constantly pull from, constantly. So highly recommend.
I love Mel Robbins. I'm first was introduced to her when she was helping someone launch their book. And they said that she's like the top paid female speaker. And I'm like, I wanted hashtag life goal. Like,
yeah, no kidding. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Where can my listeners find you?
Oh, I'm easy to find. I'm all over Facebook. That's my home, man. I'm like, that's my territory. So just Corina Taylor or Auntie, A-U-N-T-I-E, Corina, and I'll come up. Auntie Corina, parenting coach, parenting support coach. I'm everywhere. Besides, we'll drop a link somewhere, I'm sure, yes, so they can get it. But yeah, Facebook's the easiest.
Yeah.
And do not be afraid to hop into my DM. I welcome you. You are always, my DMs are always open. Just don't sell me anything.
And Karina's literally the sweetest person. I've met some really cool people lately because of the podcast. And I mean, but Karina's someone that, you know, we're kind of working together. We're doing a live soon. It'll be in the past by the time this is published. But, you know, we're just, I've very few people I've connected with outside of the podcast. Or had an ongoing relationship with, even though I've loved all the guests.
But. Oh, it's awesome. I so appreciate that. Absolutely. Talk about, I guess I should have set my boundary with my husband. I love it.
I'm waiting for Xander to wake up. So he, you know, he's going to interrupt one of the podcasts with waking up, but it's all right.
You know, it's just how we roll, right? We're moms.
It's parenting. It's post-COVID. We're a mom. Like it's over. Who cares? Well, thank you so much for joining my podcast today and pouring into my guests. And I really appreciate any opportunity that I have to talk to you. And
thank you so much. It's been just such a pleasure. And you're just the bomb.
Thank you. Well, so that's it for us today. We will be back next week for another episode of Imperfect Momming. Do the like, subscribe, comment, rate, all those things to help boost whatever needs to get boosted for podcasts. And we will see you next week. And until then, keep on healing. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Momming. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alyshalyons.com. That's alyshalyons.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.